each energy type has a strategy, which is basically like your specific flavor of manifestation, like how the universe likes to dance with you and how you like to dance back in a way that feels best. And then authority, I like to think of it as your, like your inner, your inside traffic light.
Hello, and welcome to Becoming Infinite. I'm your host, Cooper Gillespie. If you are enjoying this show, would you take a moment and write us a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on? That would help more people find us, and I would be so grateful to you. Today, I'm speaking with Crystal Thompson. She is a human design reader, certified life and success coach, NLP and EFT practitioner, and clinical hypnotherapist. That's a lot of titles, she knows. Basically, what all of those mean is she is trained in integrating the mind and body to activate and align with soul purpose. It is her absolute pleasure to help you access the well of light and limitlessness that is within you. Human design is such a cool tool with which to view our lives, and Crystal is going to teach us about the different human design energy types and how to best nurture our type. She is absolutely radiant, so much fun. I can't wait for you to meet her. Here she is, Crystal Thompson.
All right. Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I'm so good, Cooper. How are you?
I'm great. So I'm fascinated by what you do because human design is just like, in preparation for this, I actually went to Jovian Archive and I tried to figure out my human design. I was like, I can't even wrap my head around what is going on here. So I would love it if you would break it down, like pretend I'm 5 and break it down for me.
Yes, I want to say literally every reading I've ever done, the conversation starts like this. They're like, I tried to look and I got there and it was just too much and I just decided to let you do it. So you are not the first and you certainly will not be the last.
That's so, good to know.
Yes, totally. So human design overview, what you're looking at when you get your chart, it's a snapshot of how your energy moves, like a map of how your energy moves. So what the chart is made up of 5 different pieces that are kind of put together. So it's quantum physics. And what we're talking about there is like how the energy affected you when you were born and then how that shows up in your body. Beautiful. And then astrology, the kind of flavors of the planets, again, how they affect you, how your energy moves with them, how they're kind of shifting and talking with you as you're moving through the world. The I Ching, which is compared with the Kabbalah, in human design as kind of like a consciousness expression. These are the stories, like how the archetypes and the narratives that we move through as human beings. And then lastly, the chakra system. In human design, there's 9 energy centers, but they're super similar in function to what we know from the traditional chakra system. So all of those things get put together. That's the backside of it, right? But when you're actually using it, it's a beautiful map for how your energy works and how you're here to dance with the universe and how your intuition moves, things that you're here to kind of do and lead with and step into. It's this beautiful, beautiful support guide for how to find your most highest alignment and how to live in that in a way that actually feels good.
Wow. So if you are someone like me who really doesn't know human design very well, and you get your chart or whatever you want, I don't know if you call those charts or not, and you're like, yeah, whoa, where do you even start with that?
Yes. So the big 3 is the best place to start. And what we're talking about there is your energy type, your strategy, and your authority. So energy type is the one that probably most people know, that there's 5 types. We have the manifestors, generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. So everybody on the planet is split into one of those 5 types. And it's actually determined by how your energy centers basically are lit up. So something I really love about human design is it's not this thing that we don't get get our results by like using our mind to ask questions, right? It's like literally the energy you were born into, which I love. And so you are one of those five energy types. That's the first place. And there's so much medicine just in that alone. Like if you're just beginning, even to just lean into really mastering what your energy type is and what that means for you and how that can be a support is like actually going to change your life. Like you don't even need to go further if you don't want to. Just that introduction is absolutely radical. It's great. And then each energy type has a strategy, which is basically like your specific flavor of manifestation, like how the universe likes to dance with you and how you like to dance back in a way that feels best. And then authority, I like to think of it as your inside traffic light. That's how you know, how you check in with your body. Is this a yes for me? Is this a no for me? Should I move forward with this? Should I hold off on this? We're all born with these beautiful internal guidance systems, and the authority is where that
shows up. Seems like human design is just, I don't want to say more complicated, but more involved. Is that the case?
I think so. My perception is yes, but I'm saying that as someone who doesn't know a ton about astrology. Like I know astrology in the way that it affects human design, but outside of that, I'm not super well versed in that realm. So without me having a in-depth knowledge of both, I'm going to say yes. I don't know if you've seen it. There's a meme going around in the kind of astrology community. It's a snapshot from, I think, like a carpool karaoke thing where the guy who played Elton John in the biopic a few years ago is like in this huge feather boa costume and it's super colorful and bright. And he's like literally bursting out of the barriers of the windows in the car. And someone sitting next to him just in all black. And like the person in all black is astrology and the guy in all the feather boas is human design. It kills me. But to me, that's a pretty accurate representation.
That is very funny. Oh. And so how did, because like with astrology, it's like, people throughout the centuries kind of noticed how, you know, when different planets were in different places, how, you know, people would act. And that's how they came up with the system over a long period of time. And how did, because I feel like I've just started hearing about human design, but maybe yeah. I've been out of the loop. Like, how did human design come about? Do you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I do. It's actually a wild story. Its inception is really wild. So I want to say, but I like, sometimes I hesitate to tell this story because when I first heard it, I was like, okay, crazy people, like whatever. And now it's literally the crux of my entire work. So like, please know that as I go into telling the story. So human design was channeled. The guy who founded it, he's since deceased, but his name is Ra Uruhu. He basically went on like an 8-day spirit journey and came out with a massive textbook that is now the human design system. And what's so interesting about it, this happened in the 80s. So like the system itself is not that old, but the chakra system and I Ching and the Kabbalah, those are ancient, right? Astrology is ancient. And so it's so interesting to me that this person in the 1980s channeled this thing that also so beautifully aligns with these systems that have been used by humans for centuries and millennia. I think it's so cool. So I say that, like I said at the beginning with my little caveat, like when I was first introduced to it, I was like, I don't think I've got time for this. Like, this seems like kind of craziness to me. And then I started applying it to my own life out of pure exploration, and it changed everything, like actually everything. And every time I interact with someone who's sort of using the system for the first time, there tends to be that sort of same experience where they're like, I heard about it and I just decided to kind of test it out and see how it felt. And now my world is entirely different in the best way, because there's something so, for me at least, the piece of it that really lands, that really resonates, that I kind of like focus my own work personally and also what I guide my clients through is the energy aspect. In modern life, the way that we've been conditioned to express our energy is so out of whack from really like how we're meant to be, like how feels most aligned to us, even in the most simple way of like, if you live in a city, like when was the last time you touched a tree? Like when was the last time you just went outside and breathed fresh air without listening to cars going by or people screaming on their cell phones, right? Like in the most basic sense, we're living in this expression of humanity that's so odd, I think, when you look at it from a kind of evolutionary perspective. So what I love about this system is is if it resonates with you. Like I always say that with people that are kind of just getting into it, or even with clients of like, if this doesn't feel good to you, don't take it. But if it does, it can be this beautiful opening into kind of coming back home into our natural rhythms and simplifying everything. Even though the system at first glance seems so crazy and complicated, it's actually a beautiful way to simplify.
I'd love to hear your transformation story about how you came upon it and the transformation that you experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was first introduced to it. I bet a lot of your listeners will probably be introduced to it by the same person. Her name's Jenna Zoe. She's kind of the first person that I knew of in more modern, I guess, American culture, bringing this to us. And I heard her speak about it on a podcast. And like I said, when she was talking about the system itself, I was so not interested. I was like, oh, this is just another kind of dogmatic like way that we categorize ourselves and then use the categorizations as barriers or limits or whatever. But her being, like just her as a human, was so grounded and open and loving and present. Like even just over a podcast, she had this radiance about her that was so magnetic. So I thought, okay, if this is the thing that this person is sharing, that's like really been this opening for her, what do I have to lose, right? I can try it out. If I hate it, I never have to touch it again. So I'm a generator, and generators and manifesting generators make up about 66% of the population, which means most of us are designed to move from our gut, from our sacral center. But most of us have been conditioned out of that. We're taught to use our head, our mind, logic, practicality, always be 12 steps ahead, all the things. I started there. What would it be like if I lived my life day to day just by trusting my gut? What would it be like if I made my decisions from truly tapping into and listening to my intuition and not letting my mind show up and tell me what's what, or kind of explain myself out of my decisions? And that's still an ongoing process for me. But that alone, like I said at the beginning of the episode, just that alone changed my freaking life. Like I think back now, this was probably about 2 years ago. And I think back now to what was so common in my life at that time, burnout, overwhelm, not feeling good enough, feeling underpaid and overworked, not really feeling super aligned with the work that I was doing. All of these things that I don't even, like they're not even in my life anymore. They're not even things I think about. Like I have to remember that they used to be problems. So that to me is the testament of the system. And of course, there's been so much more. It's not just been human design that's gotten me to this place, but it's a beautiful foundation for this kind of evolution.
That's cool. Yeah. I remember the first time I heard about channeling, I was like, what? No. My mom was trying to take me on an Abraham Hicks cruise, and she was like,
yes,
Abraham. And I was like, and she told me who Abraham Hicks was. I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my whole life changed after that. And I totally became an Aber.
I love it. I love that you brought that up, because that's been a huge part of my journey, too. Huge part. And I had the same experience, too, at the beginning. I was same thing. I was just like, no, what is this? And now it's such a normal part of my life. Like I listen to their tracks probably every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love it.
Changed. And then it's so cool how when you discover a tool, or I don't know if you, I wouldn't call Abraham Hicks a tool, but what's the right word for that? A teacher, how it ripples out, because
yes.
I kind of found myself surrounded by Abers all of a sudden.
Yes. I love it. I love it. I've never heard Abers before. That's so good.
Oh yeah. On the cruise, some of the people would sing, "We are the Abers in your neighborhood." It was very funny. At the time, I was like, I don't know about this group of people, but by the end of the cruise, I think I was a convert for sure.
Yes. That's the thing, right? Like these things are meant to be experiments. Like try them on. And if it changes something, ooh, lean in, like keep going. And if it doesn't, great. It means there's something else out there for you that's going to do that process, right? So much of this for me is not so much about you have to use the human design system to open or to evolve. It's just that I think it's a beautiful option as a way to do that. And if it resonates and if it feels good, I'm so stoked to guide people through that process. It's all just about getting free. Like, where can you get more free in your life? How can we get more free as a collective, as a local and a global community? And whatever does that work is beautiful.
I agree. And I think that sometimes our logical brain is always trying to make sense of everything, and it has to make sense. And you know what? In the mystical realm, some stuff you can't explain. And if it's working for you, you don't need to. That's what I've come to is I don't need to explain it. If it's working, I'll just keep doing it.
Yes, I totally agree. Yes. Check in. Does it feel good? And if it does, keep going.
So when you are working with clients with human design, how do you work with them? I saw you have like a manifestation camp.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you take people through this process?
Yes. So right now there's two specific ways for one-on-one, and then I'm opening something really exciting in a few weeks. So right now I do two different types of readings. I do kind of intro readings. Those are 60-minute sessions. There's some intuitive coaching thrown in there as well. I'm also a certified coach. And I'm a certified coach and NLP practitioner. And those pieces, for me, those make the trifecta. Like, we're working with the energy, we're working with the soul, but also on a real level, you're a human being with a brain. And so you have to know how your brain works in order to have a life where it's a support system and not, right? And not an enemy. Yes. You can't, for me, I don't think it's enough, or not enough. I don't think it's the full picture to just be in the sort of esoteric spiritual realm. Like, that is so important, but also we live here on the physical plane. So we have to do work on that level too. Yeah.
And our brain has been, I'm also an NLP practitioner, and our brain has been so, NLP is like incredible, but our brains have been so conditioned. We got to work on, you know, reconditioning them. And I think you know, maybe you could get the transformation purely by spiritual or something, but it's going to take you a lot longer.
Yeah.
Go into the subconscious mind, self-conscious also, I guess.
Yeah.
And just rewire what's going on in there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that tandem process I've found is really the key. So I do that in two different containers. The first one is just an intro session. It's like just getting to know your chart, getting to know how your energy works, getting to know why you're burnt out, why you feel so overwhelmed and anxious all the time, because it's not something you're really like this. The fix for that for so much of us is really simple. But a lot of times, again, it's these energetic shifts that we don't see. We're not taught to see the world and our lives and our expression in this way. So we're not given the toolbox to fix it. So intro reading is like getting you right on a purely energetic level, if that's where you're at. It's also tapping into how do you make the most aligned decisions? How can you have more fun in your life? Where is there a place that you're carrying around shadow or something you're ashamed of that's actually a gift that's been given to you in your chart? I see that all the time. I think every session I've ever had, a client has shared something that they are either self-conscious about within themselves or something that they've been conditioned not to love. And it's actually in their chart, which says to me that was a thing they came into this life with on purpose. Like, you came here to give that gift to yourself and others, but you had an experience that conditioned you out of it and told you it made you less than or not good enough or weird or whatever the word is. So there's a lot of that in the sessions too. I had a beautiful session yesterday with someone who just like was like softly weeping the whole time, because she was like, these are things that I thought were wrong with me, and they're actually my gifts. Oh, it's the best. it's the best. Yeah. It's so good. So that there's that, the intro session. And then I do that on a really deep dive with business owners too, with practitioners, with coaches, with healers, because I think that many of us came into this life with a desire to really lift the collective, to do work like what you're doing, and to use your energy to support and lift and help other people evolve. And so I want to be a support system for those people. So I also do sessions for practitioners, coaches, and healers. And that's where we go deep. We go really deep on what I call the purpose matrix, which is this beautiful expression in your chart that brings together the kind of lessons that you're here to learn as an individual in this life, and also the gifts that come from that, that can be infused into your business and your practice. It's juicy.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to explore this colorful land of human design a little.
Yes. Do you know what your energy type is? Did you find that on when you did
generator,
your chart?
Yeah.
Amazing. I knew it. Didn't I tell you that when you messaged me? I said, I think you're a generator because you're super sparkly. Yes.
Yeah, you did.
I love it.
Exactly what that means. I got to dive way, way more into it, because I just looking at what popped up for the chart.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bunch of symbols.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to thought, but I remember I felt the same way about astrology and about tarot. And so I know it's just another system that, you know, I've got to spend time with too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You gave me an idea. I'd love to give just like a little couple sentences about each type for people that are listening. Great. Yeah, that are in your position. You're like, I know my type, but I don't know what the heck that means.
Yeah, totally.
So we'll start with... Okay, awesome. So we'll start with generators. That's what Cooper and I both are. Basically, generators are sacral beings. And what, like I was saying before, what that means is we're really here to be moved by the sacral center, by the gut. And when we have this beautiful ability to respond to something, that's how we kind of dance with the universe. So when we are presented with something that we really want to do, an example, Cooper reached out to me and said, would you want to be on the podcast? And I had this strong yes. Like a generator, the sacral response is this, like the body moves forward. It's this guttural, like, yes, ooh, yeah, that feels fun and juicy. Like that's the generator sacral response. And when that's a yes, a real authentic yes, energy is created in the body. And we have this beautiful, like almost like Energizer Bunny vibe that can kind of go forever as long as it's on something we love. That's the key. Right? When you're wrapped up and you're in flow and you're crazy about the work you're doing, you could just go for days. Do you have that experience?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And when I don't love what I'm doing, oh, it's so hard.
Yes. It feels like dragging your feet through the mud. So that's a beautiful example. So that feeling that like, oh, this is easy and fun and I could do this forever versus the, I never want to do this again. That's the sacral response talking to you. And that's what I call the traffic system or the traffic light rather. So that's the universe being like, this thing is good for you. Go this way. And sometimes it's tiny. Sometimes it's a restaurant that you want to eat at for lunch. And sometimes it's massive and it's going to be the thing that opens you up to your entire life path, which is what happened to me. I trusted my sacral responses and it led me here. And I've never been more aligned in my entire life. My brain, my mind wanted to go in an entirely different direction. My fear wanted to go in an entirely different direction. But I said, you know what? If I'm going to trust the system and really try this, like really live the experiment forward to backward, I'm going to trust my sacral no matter what. And I've never looked back. So
cool.
I feel like you have a lot of that in your story too. I was reading through some of your story highlights and your, on your Instagram feed. I was just like, oh my gosh, generator. Yes. Generator leading by intuition. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, and it's funny, I just did a IGTV about this. For my whole childhood, I was not allowed to trust my intuition. And if I tried to make a decision, you know, I mean, I love my parents. I'm not blaming them, but my dad was always like, it's my way or the highway, you know? And so I never had the, my intuition was really pressed down, and it's taken years of, you know, self-work to, I feel like we got a pretty strong connection now, but it's caused a lot of disruption in my life because I had a really hard time making decisions about important things because I could never trust myself, you know?
Yes.
Anyway, so for this personality type, that must be even like worse.
It's really common, actually. It's really, really common. Generators often, especially generators and MGs, really all the types in different ways. But like this story that you shared is really common for sacral beings, because for a lot of people, it's really off-putting. Like if someone else is not really aligned with their authentic inner truth and you are, and you have this sort of inner knowing that like doesn't necessarily need to or get to be explained, that can be really weird for some other people, right? So this is a super, super common story for young generators, myself included. Like I can definitely relate. And it's so funny, like you look back and you see all these moments where you're like, I knew in that moment what to do. I can see myself guiding myself, but I just didn't trust myself yet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Super powerful. Tell us about the other type.
Okay. So from generators, we'll go to manifesting generators. So they are a hybrid of two types per the name, manifestors and generators. So what that means is they are kind of like, they're half led by the sacral, like generators are. So it's really important for manifesting generators to have this very strong, juicy yes response. You're always leading from that place as a generator or MG. It's got to be something that authentically, internally lights you up. But from there, MGs have this really delicious direct connection to the throat, which in human design is the manifestation center. And so what that means is they're able to kind of see shortcuts in areas that other types are not. They're able to do and love and be all the things because they have this really strong kind of like energetic highway from this energy center to this creation center. We all have access to that in different ways, but MGs especially, like they're the ones that they're the multi-passionate people, the multi-hyphenates. And most of them are taught as young people, pick one thing, pick one one path, right? Specify, niche, pick a path. You're flighty, you're indecisive, you're flaky. That's not true for an MG. In fact, everything that you love, like authentically in real alignment with yourself, everything that you love is in your path on purpose. And you're probably here to merge those things in a way that nobody else could do. So if you're listening and you're an MG and you love all the things, you don't need my permission, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you permission to love all the things. Do all the things. Nice. So from there, we go into manifestors. They're about 8 or 9% of the population, so a much smaller group than the 66% that are sacral beings. And manifestors are really here, the ones to kind of like start the fire. They're here to initiate for the collective. And that's not to say that other types don't do that too. It's just that they're often the ones that are kind of opening the door for the first time of a path that many of us are designed to walk down, if that makes sense. So they are super directed and really need to be allowed to be that way. I just, for whatever reason, just had a ping to say that if you're a parent and you have a manifestor child, give them more space, like let them really lead their own path as they're exploring and encountering the world, because that freedom to really be the authority on their own life is very, 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 very nourishing for a manifestor. Manifestor's energy moves in fits and starts. So they have this ability to be sort of incredibly powerful when they take action, but that resting phase is just as important. Again, the same for every type, but really for the manifestor, because you can do everything doesn't mean you have to. Same for the generators. Like just because you can turn that battery on and go all night doesn't mean you have to, you know?
But I love it so much. I'm like doing, working on something I love. I'm just like, I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. I don't want.
Yes. 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 And that's so good when it's something that you love. Like, yes, go for days. Like as long as it feels good, keep going. So the next type is called projectors. They're about 22, 21% of the population. And projectors are really, really different than the other types. So I like to explain them as the kind of birds on the wire of society. So manifestors, generators, and MGs, we're creating energy. We are kind of putting things out into the collective. Projectors are here to guide, to curate, to help us figure out ways that we can be doing things better in more alignment. They're the kind of, again, the bird of the wire, like they're sort of away from the collective, like kind of looking out for a little while. And they come in very short, very small amounts of time to kind of help guide us and redirect us. And then they come back out. So projectors are your people who like need a nap every day or need a bath every day, or just like can only be so social. And then they're like, I've got to go back to my cave. Like that's by design. They're really, empathetic, I feel like, only often refers to the emotion. So I don't know if it's the right word, but they're just really able to feel other people in the collective more than most types, which is beautiful. Because if you think about a guide or a healer, if they can actually feel what you're experiencing, how effective they'd be, right? But if they stay stuck in your energy for too long, it's overwhelming to their system. So for projectors, giving yourself to be seen in your zone of genius, and also giving yourself to permission to retreat and rest.
Yeah, I'm so really good. Starting to see how this could be very helpful.
Yes.
In business to know. And I'm sure it's like astrology where it's like once you get into the, you know, different planets and the nodes and everything else, it's like, whoa, it can even get so much deeper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're so right. Like even just hearing the most basic introduction to each energy type, how different they all are. And imagine how most of us have been taught to live like manifestors or generators. Manifestors, I always think about the Nike slogan, just do it. Like that's manifestor energy of just like freaking do it. You have the direct connection to the throat, just do it. We're all beat over the head with that. But if only 9% of the population actually has that type of like outburst lightning bolt energy, how toxic that becomes, right? I think we're starting to see that in this rejection of hustle culture. I think that's like the collective moving into a more of a feminine, more easeful way of getting things done, of creating things, of interacting with the world. Projectors too, they're actually only... It's most energetically correct for them to only be outward about 2 or 3 hours a day. So imagine a projector in this like crazy, I heard of this story about this projector who was a stock trader. So she was for 10 hours a day on this wild, busy, loud, so many people, so many machines, so overly stimulating environment, she passed out at work repeatedly because her system is just not really built to be around that much energy. But we're taught that's the way you're successful. You have to be on all the time, or you have to be going and outward and pitching all the time. But if that's not what's in alignment for you energetically, it's not going to get you what you really want. And it is going to get you a lot of burnout and a lot of, like, for business owners, when we're talking about it from that lens, you're going to end up just as burnt out as you were working for someone else, right? Like, that's not the reason that you started your own business. You did it for freedom. So if you're listening to this and you're a business owner and you're like, it doesn't feel good yet. Like, my business is not yet this full expression of me. I don't yet feel at home in how it flows. Check your energy type and see if you're living in alignment with how that's supposed to move.
That's so cool. Good. I love it. Oh my gosh.
There's one more energy type, and they just because they're only 1% of the population. So I feel like they often get overlooked in human design teaching. And so I want to make sure they're not overlooked here.
Who are they? Tell me about them.
So the last type, they're called reflectors. They're, like I said, they're 1% of the population. So rare. And what makes a reflector is every single energy center in their body is completely open. And what that means is they're able, like, they're empaths to the 900th degree. Like, they feel everything. They can sense everything. They can taste everything, everyone's energy. So they're really here to reflect back to us what's working, what's not working. Again, kind of like that projector energy, that sort of guide. They are able to, they're so magical. They're just able to kind of see and guide and shift the collective in a way that other types are not because of their openness. The challenge, I think, for reflectors, if you're a reflector listening, I see you. I don't know what this is like, but I see you. Their strategy is to wait 28 days. So to make a big decision, not like, what am I going to have for lunch? What should I do this weekend? But like, should I move to a new state? Do I want to get a new job? Like, big decisions. And that's because, like we were talking about before with astrology, the human design system is what you're looking at is how the planets express in your energy body, but also how you as a being move through the kind of expression of all of the planets and all of the energy that they put out. And so because reflectors are so open, they can kind of sample all of that energy. So the invitation is to wait an entire moon cycle to really feel everything, because they're going to shift our to hour, day to day, week to week, month to month. And that's the beauty of your type. Any of this kind of like find your true self thing is like really toxic for a reflector, because you're here to sample everything and to just keep sampling what feels good to you. So waiting that 28 days so that you feel in your body all of the options. And then at the end, what stays, what lingers is yours. It's wild. Oh,
that's totally wild. I don't know if I could handle sampling.
I know. I know. I always think that too, but whenever I meet reflectors, they're the most magical people. Like, they just get it. They just do it. I don't know. I think about that and I'm like, I would explode. But they're these like beautiful, breezy, dreamy, dreamboat humans. It's awesome.
Wow. Why do you think they're such a small percentage?
That's such a good question. That's such a good question. I think it's what it says to me is that the sort of universal intention is that energy would be moving in a specific way. And so if you're constantly looking in a mirror, you're not necessarily moving forward. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I feel like that really aligns too with kind of inner evolution work. Like, you do have to look within, but then eventually you have to take action. You have to do something. You have to step outside your comfort zone and disrupt your own patterns. And I kind of see that as the same thing. If all of us were reflectors, or if way more were reflectors, I think we'd end up kind of energetically in a lot more dialogue about what is, rather than really shifting the paradigm and shifting the collective. And not necessarily that would be a bad thing, but it says to me that if there's only a small percentage of them, that's why there's supposed to be more kind of motion and more creation than reflection.
One thing I thought was interesting about human design was to get your chart, you can get one for free very easily, but it's not so concerned with exactly where you were born. Like in astrology, that's super important. And it said, well, we just need to know like the time zone you were born in. Pick the closest city if you.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, interesting. I wonder why that part can be sort of more general. I don't know. It's very.
Yeah. I definitely would recommend being as specific as you can when you fill it out. That's super interesting. But I would assume because the movements from like the kind of latitude and longitude on the planet, the movements are only so wide, I guess. So if you're picking a close city and you're only 20 or 30 miles off, it's probably not that different, but you could be on that 20 or 30 mile line that like does actually change it. So definitely knowing as close as possible, if not the exact city. It's so interesting. I feel like more often than not, what I hear is people don't know their exact birth time. And that's when I don't know how to get people around yet. There's some astrologers that do. It's not back.
Do it without it. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But still, I don't feel like it would be as accurate as knowing.
I think so too. Yeah.
That's a hard one because you weren't really conscious. I mean, you know, you weren't really conscious. So that's why, from what I've learned, it's like if you have access to the birth certificate, look on the birth certificate.
Yes.
People are tired after being in labor, or people are, you know, and it's very emotional for whoever else is there. And so
yes,
remember the exact time. For a lot of people, it wouldn't be accurate. So it's like, if you have access to your birth certificate, check that out and make sure.
Definitely. Yes, definitely.
I was born on an army base. And so that never shows up in, it does show up in my astrology software, but it didn't show up in the human design site.
Oh, wow.
The base. So it's kind of weird. But anyway, it said it wasn't important. It didn't need it.
All right. Great.
Oh my gosh. I'm so interested in this. I'm going to go and like learn everything about this person who channeled this whole system and try to learn about it.
Do it. It's super interesting. Let me know what you think when you find the story.
So if someone is listening to this and they're like, I want to find out about this, what's the first resource you would send them to?
I would send them to get their chart first. I like using mybodygraph.com. That's kind of my preferred place to get my chart. I find it's a little bit easier to handle all the information that comes to you right at the beginning. And you can get your sort of overview, the big three, like we talked about at the beginning, your energy type, your strategy, and your authority. You can get information about what each of those are for free. Anything beyond that is kind of like behind a paywall, and you can get like little trainings, which are awesome. I highly recommend it. But that's where I'd say go start. Like go learn about your big three from there and deep dive on those. There's so much good information available about those, the kind of larger aspects of the chart that are sort of less detailed. And it's a fun rabbit hole to go down.
When I go down the rabbit hole, and after I really dive into this, I might have to have you back so we can actually go deep into it.
We should. That's a great idea. A follow-up of the rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly. The other side of the looking glass.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This has just been awesome speaking with you today. You are just such a light. Look at you. You're like,
thank you, Cooper.
Everyone out there can't see you, but I'm sure they can feel your energy, but I can.
Thank you. This is such a pleasure.
Yay. So where can everyone find you on the internet?
Thank you for asking. So my company is Hotel Wilderness. I'm Hotel Wilderness on all the things. On Instagram is where I'm most active. And then hotelwilderness.com if you want to learn more about the work and how to get a reading and how to use your chart to change your freaking life, because that's why we're here.
Heck yes. Oh, and that reminds me of another question. Why Hotel Wilderness?
Oh. Because so it's actually a name that I've had for years, like before this company as it is currently even existed. It just is a name that came to me maybe 6 years ago, and I've just held on to it because I knew someday it would have a life. And to me, what it means is bringing the sort of like luxury and wellness of modern life to merge with the ancientness of being a human being. And human design to me does that so beautifully. So I love that that's the iteration where this name has found its home. But yeah, it's like really tuning back into who you are on an ancient being level. And then also like how to express that in the modern world in the way that feels best.
So good. It's so good. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Wasn't that a cool interview? I am so intrigued by human design. And since we've done this interview, I've actually gotten another human design blueprint. And
I'm bowled over by how accurate and right on the information is. So I highly recommend you check out more info about human design and definitely consider working with Crystal. All right, here are my key takeaways from this episode. 1, human design is about the energy you were born into. 2, each energy type has a strategy, which is basically like how the universe and you like to dance together. 3, human design is a beautiful opening into coming back home to our natural rhythms and simplifying everything. 4, try out different spiritual tools, and if they work for you, keep them. If not, try something else. It's all about getting free, and whatever does that for you is beautiful. 5, a lot of times, things you feel self-conscious about may be your gifts. And 6, knowing your human design can help you avoid burnout in your business. That was definitely the case for me once I got my human design reading recently. Wow, I realized a lot about how I need to work in order to best utilize my time and not burn out. So I highly recommend learning more about it. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today. I know you have a million things going on, and it just means so much that you spent this time with us. All right, I'm going to leave you with a song of mine. It's not a song of mine, actually. It's our cover of a song from the 1980s. I hope you enjoy it. It's called Don't Change. And I think there's a message in there for all of us human designers, which is we don't change. Don't try to change who you are deep inside. You are beautiful and perfect. And it's time we embrace that. Here we go. Don't change. Until next time.